Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Are you ready to get in the Word today? Come on, how many have your Bibles? Come on, take your Bible out. Won't you lift your Bible up just for a second, making the enemy nervous. I love it. I love it. I love God's Word. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua. We're kicking off a new series today called Transitions. Everybody say Transitions. Transitions. How to get from here to there. Transitions. You know, life is all about transitions. I was reminded of this. I know we're in a season of graduation. And, you know, just as our kids graduate school, some of them graduate high school, some are graduating college. My son graduated from kindergarten on Monday. You know, they do like big ceremonies now. Have you discovered that? That is the strangest thing to me. Cap and gown and all. Trevor's like, Daddy, I can't wait to throw my cap in the air and to yell, cowabunga. Okay. Big transitions in our home. Some of you're walking through a season of transition right now. Maybe it is through school, or maybe it's through your job. You know, maybe financially you're going through a transition. Even relationships, we transition. You know, sometimes you go from good moments to not so good moments, or you go from a season of increase and then you go through a season where things are really lean. Sometimes you have goals and dreams that move your life forward and move you from one season to the next. I guess the truth about transitions is this. Sometimes transitions can be unsettling because what you're doing is you're letting go of one thing and then you're reaching out for something else. And sometimes in the letting go of what's behind you, you haven't quite locked into what's in front of you. You're in that in-between. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you feel like maybe you're floating through different things. And, you know, what was once certain and solid and stable, when God begins to move you from that place to the next, there is a little uncertainty. There's a season where we trust God because we haven't actually locked into that next thing. You know, my oldest daughter, she'll be 15 in July. She just finished taking driver's ed. Yeah, y'all pray for me. Driver's ed. And now that she's gone through the class, she's an expert on how to operate a vehicle. Okay? So she reminds me as I'm driving, she points out the error of my ways. Any parents have kids that point out to you where you're doing it wrong and how you should do it better? Yeah, it's interesting to me. I had to tell her the other day on the way to school, now listen, Alexa, we're running a little bit late. And if you're going to get to school on time, Daddy's got to make a few maneuvers that are totally illegal. I'm telling you that right now. What you're about to see when you actually start driving, don't ever do. And then when we get home, please don't tell Mama that Daddy did that either, all right? How many of you know you can learn from anybody, even if it is a bad example? Hello. Transitions, moving from where you are to where God wants you to be. Sometimes you can't make a transition until there's first a transformation. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's good preaching. Because the truth is, you got to identify where you are, moving from here to there. You know, it's important to locate, and I think over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about transitions for the next month and a half, and I'm so excited about this series. I've been doing a lot of study in the scriptures about biblical transitions and the lessons that we can learn from them. But one of the most important lessons in transition is to first identify where you are. You are here. You ever been to the mall, and you've seen a big map of the mall, and it's got that big red dot that says you are right here. How many of you, that's helpful for you? Yeah, and all the fellas said, amen. That's it. I struggle sometimes knowing where I am. I've got to go to the map to find out, okay, this is where I am. Identifying where we are is the first step. But then the grace of God takes you from where you are to where you need to be. From here to there. And in that process, there is transformation. You can't have a good transition until you first embrace transformation. As a church, over the last 10 months, we've been walking through transition. And I want to take a moment to say thank you for how you've handled yourself in this season. I'm so proud of the spirit that you've carried over the last 10 months in walking with the Spirit of God, moving from what was to what is. How many of you know sometimes transitions can be difficult? If you learn how to embrace a transition, it can actually bless your life. Have you discovered that? When you transition with the right spirit, sometimes what can be difficult will actually bless you if you embrace it. I've seen a transformation taking place in a lot of people throughout the last 10 months because we say, God, where we are, I understand where we are, but Lord, I'm trusting you for where we need to be. And I think one of my favorite transitions I've been studying is the set of scriptures in Joshua, from Moses to Joshua. For many years, Moses led the children of Israel. Moses brought the Israelites out. Joshua took the Israelites in. Moses brought them out of Egypt. Joshua took them into the promised land. The key word for the book of Joshua is the word possess. Everybody say possess. You know, you can have a promise and yet never possess it. How many of you know the Bible gives us lots of promises? There are so many things that are available to us, but we've got to lay hold of. We've got to take possession of. I don't want to just be filled with promises that I never possess. The word Joshua, his name means Jehovah saves. It's the same word that's in the New Testament given for Jesus. I love the book of Joshua. In fact, we're going to take the next few moments, and I want to give you just an overview. I want to highlight some significant milestones in the journey of the children of Israel for the first six chapters of the book of Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Here's the key verse. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. God says this, and he's speaking to Joshua, and he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given unto you, just as I said to Moses. Huge. That's big. Underline that verse in your Bible. God's speaking to Joshua now, and he's telling him, every place that your foot steps, I'll give it to you. Here's the lesson in transitions, and this is the most important thing I'll talk about today. How do you make a transition? Here's the key. One step at a time. Can I have a better amen? Big, big, big endeavor. Joshua is stepping into a new level of responsibility, and God speaks to him and encourages him and says, listen, one step at a time. When you take that step, I'll take that step with you. Just as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Some of you now, this will set you free because you're making some transitions in your own personal life. Maybe it is a relationship. Maybe it is financially. Maybe it's something in your career or a goal or a pursuit. Can I tell you how to make the transition? One step at a time. Amen. Can't do it all at once. Have you heard it said that the journey of 1,000 miles starts how? With the very first step. So how do you get from here to there? God told Joshua, just take it one step at a time. You know, a couple weekends ago, we hosted a 5K, the Jordan Gautreaux 5K fun run. It was a great day to honor the life and legacy of just a fine young man, Jordan Gautreaux. We had hundreds come out that Saturday, and to run a 5K, do we have any runners in the house? How many like to run? A few of you do. How many like to run your mouth? See, that's me. I don't like to run. I'm not a big runner. If you step outside of your house and you see me running down your sidewalk, you need to run back inside, because something big and scary is chasing me. I don't like to run, but I said, you know what? I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to run 5K, 5 kilometers. That's 3.1 miles. And you know when that gun went off? I started strong. I felt great. I'd stretched. You know, I had me a good little protein drink, you know, so I felt energy. I felt life in my body. I moved out of that starting line. Man, I was rolling. But then something happened about a half a mile into that race. My body started talking to me. Does your body talk to you? Your body scream messages at you, yelling at you. Yeah, my side started hurting. Man, my legs, my hammies, I'm telling my hamstrings started cramping. My body was saying, listen, you weren't built for this. You weren't designed for this. Now, others, they were, I think the winning time was like 17 minutes and 56 seconds. I mean, who runs 3.1 miles in less than 18 minutes? His body type looked a whole lot different than mine. I want to tell you that right now. I reached a point in the race where, you know, the only thought that I had was just put one foot in front of the other. If I can just put one foot, if I can just take the next step. Come on, somebody say one step at a time. You see, I'm at the starting line and I've got a lot of energy, a lot of goal, a lot of dream, a lot of vision for what that finish line can look like. But guess what I had to do? I just had to take the first step. And eventually I had to say, listen, put one foot in front of the other. And God told Joshua, listen, you're stepping into a new season. Come on, hear me, church. Hear this with your spirit. You're stepping into a new season. Yeah, there's been some supernatural things that brought you out of Egypt. God used Moses in an amazing way. It was one miracle after another. But then God said, I got a new season for you. And he said, Joshua, take a step. Because when you step, I'll step with you. Now look at, skip down a few verses and look at verse 6. I love what he tells him. He follows up and he says this. How do you step? Be strong and of a good courage. How many of you need a little strength and courage in your life? You know, when you take this journey, when you walk one step at a time, I believe that strength and courage can mark your journey. He says, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and what? Very courageous. There he says it again. He says, be strong and very courageous. Skip on down to verse 9. He says this, have I not commanded you to be strong and of a good courage? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Why is it that God had to tell Joshua three times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, only be very strong and very courageous? Why would he tell him that? I believe because God knew that Joshua at times would feel weak and afraid. There are moments in our journey where we feel weak. God, I just don't have what it takes. God, I'm not sure I can do this. And God reminds Joshua, be strong and courageous, for I'll be with you wherever you go. Every step that you take, I'm walking with you. Now, let me get very practical. Sometimes we try to make a transition in one giant leap. We try to live 6 months in one day. Anybody else guilty of that? You ever go to bed at night and you can't sleep because you're trying to figure your life out? And you're running scenarios all up in your head. You're doing mental gymnastics. No wonder you can't rest. You're trying to figure it all out. And in one giant leap, you're trying to get from here to there. How many of you know it doesn't work that way? Do you know what God has given you grace for? Today. That's it. You have grace for today. Instead, what we do is we try to live beyond our grace. God's given you grace for today. You can't figure out the next 6 months. Why don't you just take the next step? Do you know what worry is? Worry is borrowing trouble. As if you got enough trouble on your own, you got to go out and borrow some. Come on. That's what you do when you try to live it and do it all at once. It's taking tomorrow's trouble and bringing it and putting it into today. You know what the scripture says in Lamentations 3? God said, my mercies are new every morning. Isn't that good news? Guess what you woke up to today? when you got out of bed, when your feet hit the floor, you know what you stepped into? New mercy. Mercy met you this morning and pulled you out of bed and brought you to the house of God. God said his mercies are new every morning. Why is that? Because we used up all of yesterday's mercy. Come on. You know you did. I did too. I need a fresh batch of mercy today. And the mercies of God met me. You know what? We have grace for today. Don't try to live it all at once. Just do it one step at a time. Here's the challenge is sometimes we start here and we're trying to get there so desperately that we're frustrated that we're not further along in the journey. Can I tell you this? You may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. What are you doing? You're on your way, one step at a time. Are you catching this? You say, but Mike, well, what about this? Whoa, time out. I can't figure all of that out. I only have grace for today. So guess what I'm doing? I'm stepping into it with the grace that I have. I can't figure out all of that other stuff, but I know that as I'm walking, my God is working. You feel like you're having to do all the work. God says, no, you don't. Just take a step. If you'll just see, here's the good news. Many of you, your world looks a lot like mine. You're wrestling through different circumstances and you're fighting different battles and you have challenges that are in front of you. But guess what? You came to church today. You know what that is? That's just taking a step. God's given you grace and you're walking in that grace. God told Joshua, hey, it's a new season. You're leading a great nation. Some historians tell us that the nation of Israel was 2 to 3 million people. How'd you like to lead 2 to 3 million? Yeah, I've got 5 people at my house. I have a difficult enough time with 5, much less 2 to 3 million. God told Joshua, if you take a step, I'll be right there with you. How many parents do we have? Do you remember when your babies took their first step? How many of you remember that? It was pretty significant, wasn't it? I mean, that marked a milestone in their development. There's a big transition when a child goes from sitting to crawling to walking. I'll never forget in our house, I think it was Michaela. I think it was probably, was it 12 months? How old was she, babe, when she took her first step? Was she 13 months? 10 months? No, Michaela. 14 months, okay, that's what it was. See, Alexa was walking at 10 months, and so Michaela, now we get past in the year, 13 months, we're like, baby, we got to get some wheels, you got to start walking. And so what do? We kind of get, you know, they hold our little fingers, and we kind of coach them through, okay, now just take that next step, and there you go, and then you try to back away, and you let it go, and they're like, you know, they're just wobbling. And you know, the look on their face is like, man, they're not sure. They've never really done this. You know, it's a whole lot easier to just sit and to crawl. But something happens when they take that first step. And it's like, it clicks. You can just see it. I mean, it clicks. And they land that first step. They land that second one, third one. Then here they go. Man, they got wheels, baby. They are rolling. When a child starts to walk, what do we say? Oh, my goodness. It opens up a whole new world. They say that as parents, we spend the first 2 years of a child's life teaching them to walk and talk. And then we spend the next 16 years telling them to sit down and be quiet. Isn't that how it works? Because when they start walking, guess what? They get into everything. Yeah, you got to put stuff out of reach now, because when they walk, now all of a sudden what they couldn't get into, now they're all over. And I think that's the fear of the devil, because he knows that when we start walking, we're going to get into some stuff. We're gonna mess some of his stuff up. Oh no, look out. They're dangerous now. A whole new world has opened up to them. They're trusting God one step at a time. Church, hear me. If you're making a transition, take it one step at a time. But just know this, that every step you take, God takes it with you. Every place, he told Joshua, that the sole of your foot treads upon, I'll give it unto you. Just as I was with Moses. In other words, hey, I've been faithful in your past. I'll be faithful in your present. And you can trust me with your future. Are you catching this today? Now, fast forward to Joshua chapter 3. God says, Joshua, take a step, one step at a time. Now, here's the interesting thing. Joshua chapter 3. Here is the first test that Joshua encounters. There's something that stands in between here and there, and it's called the Jordan River. Now, this was during the spring, and so the river's at flood stage, and now God's telling Joshua, you take these people, and you cross that river. Now, keep in mind, the people of God had already crossed a body of water with Moses, right? They'd crossed the Red Sea. And Moses, God gave Moses instructions saying, hey, take your staff and you stretch it across that body of water and I'll part it and you'll cross on dry ground. But notice the instruction that God gives Joshua. It's just a little different. Joshua chapter 3, verse 8. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, what does he tell him to do? Take a few steps. There it is, one step at a time. Take a few steps into the river and stop there. Okay, now you got the picture? A little bit different than what God told Moses. How many of you know what he told you in last season, it may not be the same thing he tells you in this season? And if you're holding on to what he said yesterday, you might miss what he's trying to tell you today. That's how churches get stuck in tradition. God spoke something to them in one season, and it worked for that season. But you know what? If you're not listening to the forward word of God, you'll be holding on to something in the past, and it won't be life-giving anymore. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost on that. Churches get stuck in a rut because, well, we've never done it that way. And what are we doing? We're holding on to something. Now, it was life-giving then, but God had a different way. What God told Moses, he said something different to Joshua. What'd he tell him? Hey, the priest will carry the Ark of the Covenant. What does the Ark represent? It's the presence of God. Hear me, church. We're all about you coming into this setting and experiencing the presence of Jesus. That's the most important thing. As those priests carried the ark, the presence of God went before them. And God told Joshua, you tell those priests to put their feet in the water. Oh, wait, time out. You mean I got to get wet? Moses didn't do it that way. Moses had a staff. Joshua had a step. See the difference? Sometimes you'll have to get your feet wet before you see the waters part. Sometimes you're going to have to step into something before you see the supernatural. It makes no sense. Why is it? Why won't God part the water so I can walk on dry ground? No, 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 no. God said, I'm going to make you put your feet in that first. You see, something will always stand in between you and your promise. Talking about from here to there, God was trying to move the Israelites from the wilderness into the promised land, but there was a river in between them. I'm going to tell you, you'll face opposition in life, and God will say, you know what? Step anyway. You can't, maybe you don't have it all figured out, but you step anyway because the presence of God goes with you when you get your feet wet. Some of you, God's telling you, get your feet wet. It's okay. Step into it. I'm with you. You won't see the supernatural until you first step into it. Sometimes you step into difficult circumstances. I see Ryan Frith, Ryan and Jessica, and some close friends of ours, Jessica's parents. Jessica, I called your dad this week, and he gave me permission to share this. And I thought it would help us as a church because how your family has navigated the loss of your sister. Joe and Gail Martin, I think it was 17 years ago this week is what your dad told me, that you lost your sister Chrissy. And I'll never forget that because that was back in 1996, and that's when Rachel and I first became youth pastors here at the church. Joe and Gail had four daughters, and their oldest daughter, they didn't know it at the time, but suffered from a condition, the same condition that Pistol Pete Maravich and Hank Gathers, that they died from. And so I think it was it in your front yard. She had passed away unexpectedly. And I remember talking to Joe and just seeing how he and the entire family handled such tragedy and such unspeakable pain. And I said, Joe, how did you do it? He said, Mike, I woke up that morning, and you know what my prayer was? God, let me just get to 10 o'clock. If I can just make it to 10 a.m. Looked at his watch. He was at work. 10 o'clock had rolled around. The grace of God brought him to 10 a.m. He said, Lord, can you just get me through lunch? Give me the strength and grace to make it through lunch. God, if I can just get home this afternoon. Lord, as I go to bed tonight, would you just hold me? And it was moment by moment. And then it was like, Lord, can you just get me through the next day? He got through that day. Lord, can you get me through the weekend? Made it through the weekend. God, can you get me through this week? You see, it's not just day by day. Sometimes it's moment by moment by moment. And some of you are walking through incredible pain, incredible heartache. Don't stop. Keep walking. The psalmist David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why did he call it a walk? Because he didn't plan on staying here. It hurts. It's dark. It's painful. I'm walking through it, but I'm coming out on the other side. How do you get from here to there? How do you make it through the most difficult circumstances of your life? Sometimes it's moment by moment. Everybody say one step at a time. Let me ask you this question. How do you beat an addiction? One step at a time. How do you heal a relationship? One step at a time. How do you make it through grief and heartache? One step at a time. How do you overcome guilt and shame? One step at a time. How do you walk away from your past? How do you experience a life-giving marriage? Or how do you raise godly kids? Or how do you move a church forward? How do you become more like Jesus? One step at a time. Are you catching this today? How do you transition in life? Listen, baby, just take it one step. You don't have to figure it all out. Just take the next step. Guess what happens? Those priests that are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they step into the water just as God told them to. You know what happened? Those waters begin to part. This was the biggest risk that Joshua had ever taken in his life. But God, what if these waters don't part? I'm doing it differently than Moses did. What if you don't show up? I'll lose all the credibility I have as a leader. And God's telling Joshua, listen, Joshua, this thing isn't about you. It's about me. Don't make your transition about you. Make it about the purposes of God in you. Sometimes we get our eyes on ourselves and think, man, if I blow it, if I mess up, if I make a mistake, if I fail at this, it's on me. No, 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 no. God's bringing you from here to there for his eternal purposes. Amen. You see, it's not about perfection, it's about direction. If you'll make a decision, okay, my eyes are on the prize, I'm walking this direction. You may stumble, you may stagger, you may have some tough moments, but God will give you the grace to take every step. Let me wrap this up. They cross the Jordan River and they enter the promised land. But there was a city named Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. And you know that city, it was built with walls, fortified walls all around that community. And God said, I want you to take that city of Jericho. How are you going to do it? How are they going to conquer this? You know, they're in the promised land. Do you know that you'll still have battles to fight even when you reach your promise? You read it, I think, in Joshua 13. There were 31 kings that the Israelites had to defeat. Wait a second. We're in the promised land. Tell you what, there's still challenges. Their first challenge was in Jericho. God gave them some instructions. Now, history tells us that the walls of Jericho were 40 feet tall and 6 feet wide. God said, I want you to go to that city, and I want you to walk around that city. Interesting how God's still telling Joshua to take steps. In chapter 1, he says, every step you take, I'll be with you. In chapter 3, he told the priest, step into the river. And now here we are in chapter 6, and God says, see that city? I want you to walk around that city. And do you know, every day for 6 days, they marched around the walls of Jericho. The Bible says they didn't say a word. Every day for 6 days, one time around the city, didn't say a word. How you like that? Sometimes God will require you to take a few steps, and you won't get any glory from it. He's just testing your faithfulness. Do you know what? There's a divine connection between favor and faithfulness. Everybody's chasing favor. God's looking for men and women who'll be faithful. If you walk faithfully, even in silence, even when no one's watching, even when no one sees your sacrifice, but it's just pure, sincere obedience. If you walk faithfully, I believe the favor of God will rest on your life. God will kiss it. He'll bless it. He'll anoint it. But then he says this, on the seventh day, everybody say seven. Seven is the number of completion. In fact, this was symbolic of the feast of unleavened bread, the finalization of that feast. He says, on the seventh day, I want you to march around that city seven times. Only today is different than the previous 6 days because we're not being quiet. He says, on the seventh day, you're going to march around that city. We're going to blow the trumpets, and we're going to praise God with a shout. Now watch this. Here's the last thought. Here's the last thought. You know what you need to do as you're stepping? You need to praise your God. You need to praise Him as you go, as you're walking, as you're believing, as you're trusting, out of your own heart, out of your own mouth, lifting up praises to Him. Listen, they had to shout the victory before they saw the victory. You see, it's easy to celebrate after the battle is done, but God said, even when those walls are staring you in the face, you march around them and you give me praise. And the Bible says that when their shout went up to heaven, it's amazing what happens when your praise goes up, those walls begin to fall down. Stone upon stone, brick upon brick, those walls crumbled because the people of God took it one step at a time and they praised Him along the way. Some of you are stepping, but you're not shouting. God said, hey, don't just march in circles, but I want you to give me praise. Don't just take this upon you, but trust me with it. And if you'll celebrate me, you'll praise your way through any problem. Can I have a good amen?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.